You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
Well, good morning. Before we move into our message, I'm going to take a moment for a time of special recognition because this is a special day. This is Veterans Day. And so we're going to take a moment to recognize those veterans who have served and sacrificed for us. If you are a veteran, would you please stand? There we go. You know, veterans make our country safe. They sacrifice, their families sacrifice. And so we want you to know that we're grateful for what you have done on behalf of all of us. We encourage you to stop by the Connection Center area after the service. There's a display there. If you haven't already seen that, there's a display with a special recognition and some information about an event coming up this coming Saturday that's open to the whole congregation as well. But we're grateful, and let's take a moment just to pray. God, we love you. Thank you so much, God. Thank you for people that you have called to step forward and serve in sacrificial ways. We pray for those who have served. We pray for those who sacrificed their time with their family, their careers in some cases, to serve in honor of our country. And we're grateful, Lord, for all that we are, and for all they are. Be with them, remind them that that their service is important and that we're grateful for them and for their families. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, today our scripture is Psalm 103, and I invite you to read this together along with me. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he remembers how we are formed. He remembers we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower in the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly host, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Now, this is my favorite psalm. There's lots of good ones, of course, but this one is far and above my favorite. It's beautiful, isn't it? It's lyrical. The imagery in it is so beautiful, empowering. It's powerful. It's compelling. And there's another reason it's my favorite, too. I encountered it. I truly encountered it early in my time as a young adult when I was beginning to take my faith seriously, committing to be what I said I was, learning and starting to live as a disciple of Christ. I'm still a work in process, of course, but I really had a long way to go then. You see, I had grown up in church and was there just about every time the doors were open. However, and I didn't really understand this until much later, my faith was something that I did, but it wasn't something I did. And then, through a series of life trials and mistakes and opportunities, God showed me there was more. God showed me who He was, and He showed me who I am. So, what makes this psalm so special? Let's look at it a little bit more closely. It starts off, as many psalms do, with praise. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name. Now, I want to point out right away something that some of you might have noticed. Many translations of this psalm actually use the term bless instead of praise. I chose to use the translation that uses praise because that's how I first learned it. And then I wrestled with the question of, how do I bless God? I don't really know what that means. I know how God blesses me, but I don't understand how I bless God. Now, I've since come to understand that those terms are really interchangeable in this context, and it's a blessing to God when we praise Him. But that was a difficult concept for me at that time. And I also know that praising God in itself is sometimes hard for us to really understand and do well also. And that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today, by the way. So, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. His benefits? Okay, praise Him, okay, but why? Something that's important in general, for you grammar people, you're going to like this. In this passage, there are notes of punctuation that are really important. And after benefits, most translations either have a hyphen or a colon. That means what? There's a list to follow. There's more that's going to come. His benefits? Here we go. Here's the benefits. What are they? Here's what God does. He forgives all our sins. He forgives all our sins. He heals our diseases. He redeems our life from the pit, and He crowns us with love and compassion. Now, I need to pause here because this is where the psalm first hit me years ago. We're just four verses in, and bam, what do you mean God forgives all my sins and redeems my life for the pit? I know that God forgives sins, but my sins? And my sins are like being in a pit? More than that, I realized that I had to call my sin what it was, sin. Not missteps, not, well, you know, not, well, it only is affecting me, so it doesn't really matter. Now, amazingly enough, though, coming to this realization was freeing. It was terrifying at first, but only for a short time. Long enough, though, to convince me and to convict me that it was time to pay attention. I realized that I had been fooling myself. You see, this began what I later learned that people call having your faith go from your head to your heart. I had known for as long as I could remember that God forgives our sins, but I hadn't really understood it. And not only that, but God also satisfies our desires with good things. Good things. Not the trash that we tend to run after, not the things that look appealing but don't really satisfy. God gives us good things that satisfy. I guess I had read this psalm before, maybe. But I know that even if I had, my heart was only just starting to open to what God had to say to me, to what God wanted to show me. I was beginning to see that this gracious mercy of God to a sinful humanity is real, and that it's perhaps the most important theme in all of Scripture. Psalm 103 was opening my eyes to this and to the truth that it applied to me. You know, we think of it as a general, God forgives our sins, ours, kind of nebulous, people. But it's personal and it's real. God forgives me. And I had to come to understand that. It describes and it celebrates God's forgiving nature and his saving power on behalf of all believers, on behalf of each of us, on behalf of you, on behalf of me. And that's just the first five verses. In verse 6, we hear that God works righteousness and justice for the oppressed, which is another consistent and important theme in Scripture. And then we get to verse 7. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. In case you missed it, it's saying God's been doing this for a long time. And by the way, here comes another list, a list of his deeds, because there's a colon after deeds. Deeds that show us who God is. He's compassionate and he's gracious. He doesn't get angry easily and he doesn't stay angry for very long. He's overflowing with love. And here's a biggie. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. And he doesn't repay us according to our iniquities. There's no tit for tat with God. Why? Because he loves us. And it's not just any old kind of love. The love that God loves us with is a steadfast love. It's a faithful love. It's an everlasting love. It's an unwavering commitment that can't ever be undone. This is a key theme throughout Scripture, and it's a key theme in this psalm. God loves us no matter what. Because as high as the heavens are above the earth, that's how great his love is for those who fear him. God loves us so much that he removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. Now notice this. God doesn't just forgive our sins. He removes them. He eliminates them. He eradicates them. They're gone. Our sins are gone. And why? Because he loves us deeply. He loves us steadfastly. And because he remembers how we are made. This is another point in the psalm that just hit me between the eyes and convicted me deeply. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, for he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. Like a parent who watches their child make a mistake, they might condemn the action, but they help correct the behavior and they show a better way. And they never stop loving their child. And that's me. That was me. God, the parent, watching and shaking his head, saying, that's not getting you where you want it to, is it? I love you. Let me show you a better way. Oh my, what an amazing, overwhelming realization that was. God knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. We're dust. God has compassion on us because he remembers we are dust. We're frail, fragile things, aren't we? But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. Now, I want to talk for just a minute about this fear of God concept. Does God really want us to be afraid of him? No, of course not, although maybe sometimes we should be. What this means more is that we recognize God's unsurpassable majesty. We acknowledge it and we live our lives in response to it. It means we respect God. It means we honor God. We honor God through our words and through our actions. It means we honor God by following his commands and by doing his will. It means we remember that God is God and we are not. God's everlasting, steadfast love is with us, and we have to remember to follow his instructions. God remembers who we are, and we need to remember who we are to God. Now, here's where I might step on a few toes. In my experience, most of us are glad to come to church. I mean, no one is forcing us to come unless you're one of the small children that their parents said, "You're coming with me today," right? But we're here because we want to be. We like the music. We like the fellowship. We like the donuts. We generally like the teachings. But how much do we look forward to the reminder that we may need to change our ways, that we need to confess our sins to God, and that we need to receive his forgiveness? I suspect for many of us, we look forward to that about as much as I look forward to dusting. I hate dusting. Give me the yard work, please, any day. Some of us dread going to the doctor. Some of us dread fixing a leaky faucet. Some of us dread weeding the garden. But it's something we need to do. It's something we might have to endure, but we do it because we need to. But it's not something we look forward to. Here we are. The people of God, bringing the good news of God, whose mercy is from everlasting to everlasting, bringing this incredible news to people who need to hear this hope, telling them that they can be forgiven, that they can live a better way. But does it really register with us? Do we really believe it? If we really do believe it, how do we live as a result? Do we believe it enough that we want others to know? Psalm 103 is really this exuberant outburst of a person who clearly knows very well what it is to be forgiven, who really does believe in a gracious and loving God, who has experienced God's mercy washing over them like a gentle rain, whose life, as a result, has been opened up to a whole new world of possibilities. This psalm, it explores both the depth of our predicament and the overwhelming abundance of God's grace. I want to tell you a story. It's a true story. It's a story that was shared in the news in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. And it featured a scrappy bunch of people trying to get out of New Orleans. They were really kind of refugees trying to get out. They had lost everything. They had gone from one awful shelter to another, dirty, dangerous, moved to the next one, dirty, dangerous. They're just trying to get out. And they had been working in the French Quarter. They were bartenders, exotic dancers, tattoo artists, moving from one spot to another, trying to find a place of safety. And a reporter actually discovered them trudging along on the side of the interstate, trying to make their way out of the city by foot. They had no means of communication, they had no transportation, and they were desperate. The news story focused on one of the young women in the group. Her father was a pastor somewhere in the Midwest, and apparently they had had a falling out years ago somewhere along the way. She had run off as a teenager down to the Big Easy where she could be free. And she ended up as a bartender in some seedy club. And there she was on the side of the highway with all these desperate people who had just lost everything. She asked if she could use the reporter's cell phone, and he said yes, because she wanted to try to get in touch with someone to let them know that she and her friends were okay. And who did she call? She called her father. They had not spoken in some time, but he answered the phone. "Daddy, I'm okay," she said. And then she burst into tears. "I don't know how we're going to get out of here. I'm so scared." They exchanged just a few more words before she hung up the phone, and the reporter asked, "What did he say?" She replied, "He said he's coming down right away to pick us up." As a father has compassion on his children, this is the kind of God we encounter in Psalm 103. It's a God of steadfast love and mercy, a God who values relationships over retribution, a God who is so madly in love with us, even when we are at our least lovable, that he keeps on reaching out to us. God is always ready to save us. God is always ready and willing to hop in the car and rescue us and give us a fresh start. I suspect we would allow ourselves to encounter God like that. If we did that, we couldn't help but truly experience that grace for ourselves, and we couldn't help but be transformed. Or maybe we have had that kind of encounter, and we just need to remember. We would come to see, if this happened, we would come to see our lives in a whole new way. And we would live like the psalmist in such a way that our whole life becomes this song of praise and thanksgiving to this amazingly gracious God. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my being, praise his holy name. Psalm 103 is a song of great joy. It bubbles over with joy and amazement and praise and thanksgiving for this great redeeming and blessing power of God. Forgiveness, healing, love, mercy, goodness, joy. You know, all of us know joy personally at special moments. Enjoying the beauty of nature, that's a big one for me. Tears of joy at the birth of a child. Tears of joy when our favorite sports team wins. But what about the joy of knowing God? What about a life of joy and praise and thanksgiving to God? A life where God is first and everything else follows that. I believe that that's when we can truly say, it is well with my soul. This is what the psalm showed me. What about you? Do the things of this world matter? Yes, they do. Of course they do. Are they the most important thing? No, they're not. What are the most important things? God's kingdom and helping others find it. Who are we to God? We are his dearly loved children, wired to live a life of praise and thanksgiving because of what he's done for us. You know, God is real and God is here. God wants us, his dearly loved children, and he wants all of us. He's ready to free us of the things we're holding back. He knows us. He made us. He offers what we truly need. I invite you, I actually urge you, to open your heart and receive this steadfast love, to praise the Lord with all that is within you. Let's pray. Merciful God, we love you. We're grateful for what you've done. We're grateful for who you are. We're grateful for who we are to you. And yet, sometimes we hold back. Help us to love you more. We're afraid to let you have our whole heart, and we're afraid to release the things that separate us from you. And so, mighty God, give us courage and strength as we confess to you now that we have sinned. We confess sins that no one knows, and we confess the sin that everyone knows. We confess the sins that are a burden to us, and we confess the sins that do not bother us because we've gotten used to them. You redeem our lives from the pit, and you shower us with love and compassion. You have compassion on us because you know how we are made. Forgive us, we pray. Send your Holy Spirit to us to give us power to live as you have called us to live by your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Help us to praise you with our lives and to joyfully show the world who they are to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we stand and sing, I invite you to come forward to pray as God leads you. Let's stand and sing.